Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies, or at least we used to, but now movies don't happen in cinemas and now we can't get to them. And then we wait several months until they come out on our TVs and then we finally catch up on them, which is what's happened today.
We're so excited because this movie, St. Maud, was on everyone's best films of the year list last year, but did it have a cinematic release? If it did,
oh, it did.
We missed it.
We just couldn't. Literally, we could not go to a cinema. They weren't open.
And then it wasn't... Oh, like, film critics all got, like, screeners of it, but we didn't have screener. We were just like, we have to wait for it to come on demand. I mean, we probably could have if we really tried to get a screener, but we didn't. And then we've just rented it, and we're going to watch it now. And we're like, I hope our expectations aren't too high, because it's so well received, and it was in all these lists of people that we respect last year. So I hope it's good.
I'm just excited to watch it because it's 80 minutes long.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, come on, guys. Make more 80-minute long movies. 80 minutes is the new 90 minutes.
Apparently it's
even
a horror,
90
though.
Minutes is too long.
Yeah, but apparently it's a horror, and I'm not a horror person, but I'm willing to put that aside for a movie that's this well received.
You get on well with horror, though, whenever you do watch it.
I think it's though because I'll only watch the really good ones that like have been hugely recommended, whereas like you just watch any old horror.
I'll watch
so
it.
So you
all
watch bad ones.
Do you remember when we went to see Hereditary? That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping for something in that vein.
Yeah.
Sort of weird,
I'm
twisty,
fascinated.
Psychological.
And I've not even seen a trailer. I know nothing about it, basically, except that Mark Kermode loved it. So that's cool. I'm into it.
There's religious vibes, I believe.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's called St. Maud, so one would infer that.
Yeah, I don't know what gave it away. Right, I don't know what else to say. Let's go watch it. We'll see you guys back here shortly.
In 80 minutes.
Bye.
You must be the loneliest girl I've ever seen. I just want to see you loosen up.
I've got more important things on my mind.
Maud, he isn't real.
This is life and death on another level.
Oh, yes, of course.
Never waste your pain. Never waste your pain.
Hi, we're back. We saw St. Maud. 80 minutes have passed. I love it. I can't get over that. But before we chat about it, just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to some of the people who have joined our Cinemile High Club over at patreon.com/thecinemile. So big thank you to Davey Kilgannon, to Gillian Dunn, to Ryan Neal, to Jill Flanagan. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill, former guest on the pod.
And to Daniel Crowley. Thank you guys for subscribing at the rate of £2 or £3 a month and getting access to, more than 20-plus old movie reviews there now. Loads of TV shows. We just watched Singing in the Rain. And if you want to join the illustrious ranks, head over to patreon.com/thecinemile
and
get access to all those things and vote on what you want us to watch next.
And now let's talk about that awesome movie that we just watched.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was really, really
If it's
good.
Your first time here at the Cinemile, we won't spoil anything just yet, so we'll just give you our sort of thoughts on what we just watched, then we'll go into
Spoiler Street.
Details on Spoiler Street
later.
Spoiler
Street used to be near our local cinema, now it's near our house.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
it's
on
kind
your,
of in your mind.
Your state-sanctioned walk around the block.
Like this movie.
Yeah. I loved this movie. It really surprised me. I thought I knew where it was going. I didn't know where it was going. It was so fresh. It's so original.
Loved, yeah, I've never seen anything like that.
I loved the story. I thought the actresses were brilliant. Love that it's like an all-female cast, written and directed by a woman. And like in brief, like it's about a young nurse called Maud who is caring, kind of end-of-life carer for a woman who's suffering from cancer.
Palliative, I think it's
palliative
called,
care, yeah. And it's that setting. But Maud is very religious, and shit gets a bit weird. And I never think that's good. It kept going in places I didn't expect it to go. I thought it was like wonderfully shot. Like parts of the movie were really beautiful, and parts of it were like really grubby, and parts of it were really spooky. And for people who aren't into big horror-y, hugely scary movies, like I'm not, I would say it's actually not that scary.
It's creepy.
It's almost more of a thriller.
And disturbing. I would say it's very disturbing.
It's like, to me, it was like a thriller with some horror, touches of horror. So yeah, anyway, rave review for me. Absolutely love it. Really glad we watched it. I was completely swept up in it.
It's amazing. Can you believe I just read up on after the credits rolled, writer director Rose Glass, it's her first ever feature debut.
It's incredible. I was watching it and I was like, because I didn't know her name.
It's her first ever feature debut. It'll be her only feature debut. Sorry, it is her.
We were saying, I was like, this is a really accomplished director. Like, it has to be. Like, this is so controlled.
She's 31.
That's incredible.
She's 5 years younger than. She was born in 1990. She wasn't even born in the 80s, man. It's absolutely just making me reassess my life. The accomplishment of this woman.
It's incredible.
It's an amazing thing to have.
What a debut!
Produced. She did it with the backing of Film 4. She's made a load of shorts and just like. She's just going to be in it, like an amazing.
Can you imagine? All it's like.
Talent.
Remember when Phoebe Waller-Bridge came off the back of Fleabag and like Amazon paid her like millions and millions and millions of dollars?
Oh, she's going to.
I feel like Rose Glass is
going
to be like very hot property now. But interestingly, when I watched that documentary last year, the Gina Davis one called This Changes Everything, and they talked about like how continuously in Hollywood, like female directors. And writers and like female led movies, like time and time again, something like Thelma Louise will come along and they'll say, this changes everything, we're going to have more female focused stories. Or you'll have a female director do like a really big movie and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing, she's going to be the next big director, and then it's like nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah.
So I really hope that that's not the case with this movie and that she gets in a brilliant deal and just keeps making movies, because she's like, I'd watch anything she made now. I'd love to go and watch her shorts. But anyway, back to the movie, on that subject,
because I read an article on Medium by Film 4 about her and an interview with her, and that kind of comes up about this is her first press tour off the back of this film, because it got US distribution as well and played at the Toronto Film Festival. Like A24 are distributing it, and she said that one of the common things that keeps coming up is the fact that she's a female director. It's a talking point
because it's genuinely unusual.
But that's the thing, it is on it. But she's saying like, I'd rather, like, that to me, that's not interesting. I'd rather just talk about
how
the work. That's her point.
Exactly,
and it's
yeah.
kind of like a bit of too much pressure, like you say, to just put on somebody. This changes everything.
Exactly.
It's like, no, things need to change, but it shouldn't be on Rose Glass to
exactly.
change everything.
And things are changing, and it's not on her. It's just, you have to point it out because it is unusual. Yeah. But yes, so tell us what you thought of the movie.
I loved it. I thought it was it's gets under your skin, like you, as you said, it's grotty and grubby, like the way, like I've never she's just got an eye for it's like for I don't know how she did it, whether this is like just the way things are shot or the locations or the little details, but like everything in this movie, like, and I mean like tables and glasses and like everything looked slimy and dirty.
Yeah.
And there's a scene, I won't spoil anything, there's a scene like in a pub at one stage, and it's just the grubbiest pub I've ever seen. And you could have probably you could shoot that, this is the power of like visual storytelling. You could probably shoot that same location if I was directing a Heineken ad, because she's drinking like a big old pint of Heineken or something, and I'd be like, I could make that pint look bloody delicious. But no, that's the most disgusting pint I've ever seen.
And lately, and when like, we watch anything right on TV that someone's in a restaurant or a pub, like, we're like, oh my god,
oh, yeah,
I
want to
go
there.
A pub, I want to go to a pub so much. And tonight I was like, nah, I don't want to go to that pub.
This town, wherever it is, it's like it's portrayed as, and it's also, it's a beachside town. That's the thing. And
but it's
what's
like
interesting,
a beachside town in the winter though.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like this location, I don't know where they shot it, but wherever it is, I bet it is a nice tourist destination. And that's what's interesting about this film, because this is entirely centered around one character's perspective, and you're seeing this everything through their eyes. So that's what I mean by, like, what's interesting is we're being presented with a vision that's literally Maud's perspective on the world. So like,
which ain't a pretty one.
Because if you were another character in this movie and walked down that beach, there's even a few moments where you see the other character Amanda, like, out for a walk and looking out over the horizon, and you get glimpses of like what life is about.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll save some of that for spoiler street.
I think we should go to spoiler street pretty quickly, because there's a lot to unpick.
It's exciting. I'm feeling excited about this movie. I'd love to watch it again. It's so easy to consume as well.
Yeah.
Let's go to spoiler. I cannot recommend this enough. Everyone is right that this is worthy of your time. It's a cliche to say it's a calling card for this person, Rose Glass, but it really is. Like,
but
it's also a product
in itself. It's not just like, oh, here's a promising filmmaker. It's like, here's
film. No, this is like, if this was something that somebody produced after 30 years of filmmaking, you'd be like, they've just hit on their masterpiece.
That's what I mean. I was like, I felt like when I was watching the film that like every part of it was like so deliberate and so beautifully shot and really unique way of looking at this young woman that was like really cool. Now let's go to spoiler street.
Right,
spoilers for St. Maud. Turn off if you haven't seen it.
Go away, it only takes 80 minutes.
And you won't
find it,
you won't guess the plot, so like don't listen to the plot, right, if you haven't seen it. So you've had your warning, take your headphones out.
right. Spoiler street, we are here.
Finding high-quality mental health care can be daunting and exhausting. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, grief, big life changes, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can now use FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
I think there's a bit in the middle, which you were referring to earlier, where you don't quite... this movie goes places you didn't expect
it. We thought the whole movie was, like, going to be set in this very cool, singular, like, house location.
Yeah, claustrophobic house.
Yeah.
And they set it all up. You're like, right, it's these two women in a house. That's the movie.
And at the end, she arrives, she says to the other nurse, what's she like? The patient. And the other nurse says she's a bit of a cunt. So we're like, we think it's going to be this old baddie woman... Like, we think Maud's our protagonist. Like, we're rooting for Maud in this scenario. And then after a while, I was like, to Dave, I think Maud's the villain. Because that other woman seems quite nice. But I said, I think she's possessed or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now I'm like, I don't know. I don't think Maud was possessed. I think it was all in her head,
for sure.
But what's cool about this movie is it could be either. Could be either. She could be possessed, or she could be like unhinged.
It could be, but I really, for me, it's kind of 90-10. It's all in her head. Like, and I think kind of that's the more interesting take.
And isn't it so? We loved watching her relationship with the woman, as like she gets to know her, and then she kind of starts falling a bit in love with the woman and wanting to save her, and then the woman's like, "I have a life. I've got a party. I have friends." Like she doesn't need Maud as much as Maud thinks she needs her, and like
exactly,
and it gets really interesting.
That's what's interesting is that you get very little of Amanda, because I wasn't expecting that either. I thought we were going to be spending a lot of time with these two women, but as soon as she gets fired, it's like Amanda's out of the picture
moment. That was, and it's like Amanda's kind of just like the manic pixie dream patient. Like she's putting her. She's like, Amanda needs saving.
It's a savior complex,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
She wants to...
And I want to convert her.
That's what's so interesting about this character of Maud. She's a she's the one, she describes Amanda at one point as being lost to her face in the party. She says, yeah. No, I think you're lost. But she's the one who's lost.
And we never find out what something awful happened to her a year ago. And
I love that they don't even...
I know!
They give you kind of... You've got enough of the pieces to clue together that it was like...
Something bad.
I think she was administering CPR and like caved the woman's chest in, is what I think.
I don't know, because there was a lot of blood. And it was interesting because at the very beginning they showed us a brief scene and then it cut to... the film, and I was like, oh, they're starting at the end of the film, boring.
I know, actually, I thought the same.
But actually it wasn't.
It's so much, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Did she imagine it or not? So I love, and then she bumps into the, like, very kindly.
I think that was real. I think that was, that's the beginning of the film, that moment that you're referring to, is the traumatic event that sets everything in motion
for
this character.
The nice woman from her hospital, the colleague who's like trying to look out for her, says like, you know, I think I could tell that things were getting worse from you, and I knew there was a problem for
sure,
you.
Yeah.
So it seems like she was kind of unraveling before all this, and then we find out that she was out. I think she was out partying a lot.
Exactly.
Like,
I think that's like, this film is about direction and purpose, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what I think it's beautifully done in the way that. We get a voiceover narrative, which can be very cliched, but it's her
very
prayers.
Like, are you there, God? It's me,
yeah,
Margaret.
It's her praying to God, and I love that. And it's her addressing.
But her praying is like, I have menstruation cramps and I've taken 2 ibuprofen.
Yeah, it's very detailed. I mean, like, God's very busy, Maud. Don't be giving him all the just bullet points, please.
Yeah.
But what were we saying? So she's somebody who's. Absolutely been lost. The thing is, there's a motif running through this whole thing of sinkholes. Did you notice that?
So
it's like the water going round and round in a drain. She sees the same in her pint glass. Like, it's almost like this gateway to hell. It's people spiraling downwards. That's what was happening to her.
Oh, I kind of saw it more as like the heavens opening for her to dive into.
No, I saw it as the opposite. So it only happens at the end. It's reversed.
The
same thing is seen in the clouds. And that's her ascending to heaven. She's finally found it.
But
it's the
opposite.
It's this menacing thing, this spiral going downwards. And that's what's happened to Maud. She's somebody who's looking for purpose. That's what she's addressing to God the whole time. Like, what do I need to do? Give me some direction. I don't know what the signs are. And that's all that...
No, Maud, all you need to do is put needles in your shoes...
Oh,
burn,
stop
your hands.
That was awful.
That was disgusting. When she was unpicking the wound on her hand, I was like, Dave, tell me when it's finished.
But
like,
I think
this
that's
disgusting.
That's the theme of this movie is it's no coincidence that the other character in the movie is at the end of her life. And there's a very pointed scene where she says, I can't stop thinking about who the moment, who's going to be there when I die, what's next, and all these things, and that these are the things in that at that stage you'd be thinking, what is the purpose of all this, and that's why, religion and faith is so attractive, because it provides purpose, and that's what Maud has clung to, but she's somebody who has.
She's
just gone overboard.
Well,
she's overdosing on
people
faith.
People have done that throughout time, like. That self-flagellation thing, like that hurting yourself to appease a god or whatever.
Yeah, she's also punishing herself as well, right?
It's really
there's a form of punishment in it.
And that scene
and
when
reward.
She goes out and gets drunk and is like with men and like trying to talk to people, that was a very disturbing scene as well. Like,
yeah,
it was. You could see her unraveling, and like, I just really enjoyed like the study of Maud as a person, and like. The little bed that she lived in, it was like so grubby, and then she has like this cleaning montage when she's like refound her faith again, and like.
But that's the thing about faith can have restorative powers and actually be really good for somebody
because
as well.
She thinks that she was levitated, and maybe she was. That's what I like. It could have happened. We don't know. But then when she goes back to the house,
I really don't think any of it happened. I think the final shot of the movie is when the facade slips and we see the reality.
Yeah.
That for me is the tell.
That was amazing.
That
she sees everyone.
Everything prior to that was in her head.
She sees everyone on the beach like in rapture, like bowing down to her angelic wings and her ascension to heaven, and they see someone burning to death, and that was incredible ending to the film. Like, and then the title credits just come up.
Yeah.
But when she went back to Amanda's house and she went back into the house and then she went into the bedroom... And I think that they set it up quite well, because earlier on when she was having sex with that guy, she thought that she killed him, but she thought that blood was coming out of his chest, and then it wasn't, right?
No, but sorry, that's why I think so when she killed that patient with CPR.
No, I get that. No, but yeah. I'm saying they set up that she's having hallucinations now because they showed us that happening and then it wasn't happening him.
Oh, sure.
So then it shows us the patient Amanda being like a devil kind of exorcist thing to her, but we know that didn't happen, and then she kills Amanda and then she just leaves. And that was like, I just thought that was really cool. I loved how they did all of
but
that.
But it's so confident to never go back to that and show the reality. Like, we don't see, we don't, the movie doesn't ever give you the confirmation that you desire. Like,
yeah,
oh wait,
cool.
No, it's her, she wasn't possessed. Yeah. She just murdered that woman.
It just gives you enough, but it's like, she's just murdered someone.
You just know it. You just know it in your core that this is not, this is literally, it's a fantasy. It's an escapist fantasy to give herself purpose. But she's also like sick. Like she's unwell. Like,
oh yeah, and like we get some sort of sense that like, sorry guys, so we're like this is we're like trying to get away from people on the footpath while we do this. Podcasting where you walk around outside in a pandemic can be difficult. But yeah, I just think
go single file, people. If you're traveling in groups, please.
Yeah, people don't go single file. It's weird. Like
we just
immediately
have to cross the road.
We drop to single file, and other people just keep walking abreast. Anyway, yeah. So awesome. Freaking love it. I love that it left some stuff unanswered, but like mildly, like we get where she's going. It's not too ambiguous. And I love the audacity of the whole thing. I just love the confidence of it all. I thought the woman who played Maud was awesome.
Yeah, Morford Clark, amazing.
Really enjoyed her performance. And yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. It's awesome. Totally recommend. Best 80 minutes I've had in ages.
Yeah, it's. I feel like invigorated by this thing. It was like it's like being shaken.
And I think it would have been, I would have liked to see it in the cinema, that's for sure, because I think it would have been a cool, like, kind of one of those shared experiences. Like, I think I find horrors to be best enjoyed in the cinema, that's for sure.
Yeah, because you're sharing the gasps and the horrified silences.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, what was that film last year? I went to see it with Alex, the follow-up to Hereditary. Your man. Anyway,
the follow up to The Shining.
No, the follow up to Hereditary. Students go to Sweden. God, guys, everyone's screaming the name of the movie to me. Anyway,
can't remember.
That was a moment where I was like, "That's the last horror film I think I saw in the cinema," and it was just like exactly as you're describing, this sort of communal shock.
Yeah.
That you can feel the shock in the room, and and there was like silence as the credits came up, and you're just all
there
sitting there.
There was less jump scares
trying
in this.
To take it in.
This is what I was worried about in this movie, that there was
Midsommar,
jump scares.
Sorry.
But there's no Midsommar. Jump scares in this, basically, so that's good. It's just grubby when she's lifting the wound off her hand. But we gotta go!
Oh, stop! I couldn't handle all the gore. Yeah.
The gore is gross. Yeah. But we gotta go. We're keeping the short and sweet. Thank you everyone for listening. Let us know what you thought of St. Maud. Did you catch it last year, or are you just catching it now like us on rental? And contact us at The Cinemile on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or thecinemile@gmail.com. and we would love, really love, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, if you would head over to whatever app you listen to us in and leave us a rating and a review and subscribe. We would hugely appreciate it, because that's how other people find our podcast and how we get like recommended to other people. So we appreciate it loads. Thanks, guys.
Bye, bye everyone.
Bye. You must be the loneliest girl I've ever seen.
I'm here, Amanda. I am not alone. And neither are you.
Oh, snap out of it, honey. He isn't real. You must know that.
No. You felt him too, remember? We both did.
No, honey. I didn't.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Yeah. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter and to your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of The Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.